Amen. Well, Jimmy, thank God again for our praise team. Thank God. Thank you so much, Brother Alvin, and our media ministry and greeters and each and every one of you. It's good to be here. Would you say that? It's good to be here. For this is the day the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. And there's a reason for us to be glad, because God has done a marvelous work among us. You know, we call this Dream Sunday. We know that we are embarking on our national holiday of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and that day really represents a movement. If you're familiar with history, then you know that it was in 1963 where many gathered on the Washington Mall, numbers estimating close to 300,000 people, led, get this, by church groups, by believers, by leaders in the church, arm in arm across ethnicities to face and challenge the consciousness of America. Because America's social structure was divided across ethnic lines. Doug, people were cast based on complexion. And there was disunity everywhere. And in response to the disunity, God raised up a movement through his people. Check the history. It started in the church. It started with the church. And it was a selection of believers that chose Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to be the face, the spokesman of a movement. And the result of that movement, the consciousness of our nation was challenged and changed. A movement that was led by believers. A movement that was led by the church in response to the goodness of God. I want to invite your attention to join me in your copy of God's Word to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I'll begin our reading at the 16th verse. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Because the movement hasn't ended, some of you might recognize we still have some work to do. So I want us to look at God's Word in light of our season. And look what he says. This is penned by Paul, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. And under that inspiration, verse 16, here is conviction. He says, from now on, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, can we say amen to the word of God? For in this word, you see the conviction It really starts with those first three words in the 16th verse. If you're reading from the same translation as I am, he says, from now on. Something cathartic had to happen for him to get to that point in his life and journey that he could declare for himself, from now on. I know that we're still at the beginning of the year. And at the beginning of the year, oftentimes we make resolutions and we make commitments to ourselves. And some of us right now said, from now on, I'm not eating any more sugar. From now on, I'm not going to practice this anymore. And we know kind of how that goes. But when you reach this level of conviction, Dr. Parks, this is a cathartic moment. Something shifted in Paul's and believers' lives that they recognized that at one time, they were looking at people the wrong way. I'm in the text. He said, but something has occurred that has challenged us that we are not going to look at others in a worldly way. Listen, as a church, we're challenged from actually a quote from Dr. MLK that says, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Oh, this is not only true in relationships with one another. When you understand the promise of the gospel, this is what happened through Christ for you and I. Because the truth is, look around for a moment. Go ahead and look around. Look at the person next to you. No, really, look at them. Look at them. If you're listening online, if I sit right next to you, go ahead and look at them. Look at them for a moment. Do they look like you? No, I don't think we have any twins in here. They're all different. We are all different. We come from different ethnic groups. We come from different tribes, different languages. And one thing I love about our church family is when you look, you see the mosaic community of God's creation, where God has called all of us together to be one in Christ Jesus. I know I'm the only one excited about that. Because when you look around, you see people from all walks of life. And this is how the church is supposed to be. Members of a faith community, all different. In fact, if you're looking at me and you think it's just cultural, some of you right now know that you live in a house with a person probably of your same culture, but you are so different. Oh, but there's something that we have in common. Despite our distinctions, despite our differences, there is something we have in common. Do you know what it is? The Bible says, for all have, you know it, don't you? Have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we come into the world tainted by sin. The sin of racism is only evidence of that taintedness that is in our sin nature. Tony, we see evidences all around us that we were born in sin, and as David said, and shaping in iniquity. That means then we can't look down our noses at anybody, because all of us are in the same boat. We all come the same way. And so I'm challenged in this text, and I hope you are too, because Paul, as he's writing to believers in Corinth, Alan, look at what he says. He says, from now on, which means at one time we were viewing others in the wrong way. I suspect not just Paul. I suspect that there are those among us. Oh, can I just go ahead and push it for a little bit? All of us have been, or probably still are, guilty of looking at one another through the wrong lenses. I'm in the text because he opens up and he says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ that way. Even though once we looked at Christ, he says, and didn't understand the value of who he is as our Savior. He said, but no longer. No longer, meaning that that's something that happened in his life as it relates to his relationship with Christ, that the lenses of his life changed. Oh, come on now, work with me for a moment. Because tell me, you know, when we came in this world, we came in kind of cool. Oh, I hear you. You don't like that flow, Greg? I hear you. Nah, Pastor, that one ain't for you. But here's the reality. We come in a world with tainted lenses, looking out at the world and judging others as though we ourselves are not guilty of the same. Sometimes we are brought up in cultures that shade the lenses that we look through. So we overgeneralize individuals. This is really what caused the rift in American society, where you had African Americans and Anglos at odds, not realizing that all of us were created in the Imago Dei, in the image of God. Paul says, at one time, my lenses were messed up. One time I was judging others because of their political affinities. Judging others because of where they came up, because they weren't brought up the way I was. Oh, maybe that wasn't your lens. Maybe your lens wasn't self-righteous. Maybe your lens. A little better, Gray? I'm trying to work with it, bro. Maybe your lens was bias and prejudice. Where if anyone wasn't like you, they were deemed to be wrong because everything about you, for some reason, in our corrupt minds, were right. Paul says at one time, I was looking at others in the wrong way. Boy, if I knew I had some honest people in here, I'd ask you to raise your hands if you ever looked at somebody in the wrong way. I said, go ahead. I got some honest folk in the house. And I got one deacon who said amen, so we all right. But then he says, something happened that shifted him, that he's able to say, from now on, we're not going to view others in a way that doesn't give value to the reality that they are created in the image of God. He says, we're not going to do that anymore. I'm going to look at others through a different set of lenses. Ah, it's right there, you all. Because when you look at what motivates him, I want to take this off because I can't even see you all. But when you look at what motivates him, it's really in verse 14. Let me go ahead and take these off. Because when Christ comes in your life and you are a new creation, he cleanses your lenses so that you can see everyone clearly. And when you look at verse 14, look at what motivates him. I love this, Alvin. Look at what motivates him. He says, for the love of Christ controls us. Why from now on we're going to live lives differently is because the love of Christ controls us. What motivates you, believer? Because unless Christ is the Lord of your life, then you are not capable of loving the way God has commanded us to love one another. No, because your lenses are still tainted. But when you are in Christ, I love the text. He says, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. In other words, I put away judgmentalness. I put away self-righteousness. I got to take this off too, y'all, because that's not my prescription. I put away anything that doesn't honor Christ's love for me. You got to understand this. For God loves us, and that love that Christ has for us is really the mark of followers of Christ. Love must be the distinguishing mark of a Christian. I hope you get this, because in order for us to maintain and achieve what is required for unity and to be the witness God has called us to be as a church, we must live by the principle of love. I'm a student of MLK's writing and his ministry and what motivated him, and as Attorney Fred Gray said in his lecture on last night, that what motivates them as a movement was a love for God, which influenced their love for people. You're looking at me like you don't remember this thing, but remember when Christ said the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and to love your as your. Oh, that's it. And not only did he say that, but Jesus Christ told his disciples in John 13:34, he says, a new commandment that I've given you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I heard a quote that said, God knows how he made us distinctively and creatively, that God is not colorblind. He's not blinded by color, culture. He's not blinded by the distinctions, and neither should the children of God. MLK said, love is the greatest force in the universe. It is the heartbeat of the moral cosmos. He who loves is participating in the being of God, because our proper response to the love of Christ. Let's unpack that for a moment, the love of Christ. That Christ would love you so much that even though you were an offense to God, he would come on your behalf. Even though sin separated us, stained us, got us all dirtied up, he loved us in spite of. And he took on our sinfulness, paying the price for us so that we could be in right relationship. That's that word, reconcile. We can be in right relationship with God and a part of the family of God. And verse 18 says, and all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What did he give us? The ministry of reconciliation. Hold on. Not only does Christ make peace for us between us and God, he then gives us the ministry to make peace between us and help others to know God. Which means then, brothers and sisters, if we're going to have the strength to love, we need to not ignore the conflicts, but speak into them. Don't ignore it. Reconcile it. Don't ignore when strife comes between married couples. Don't ignore when you see individuals acting in an ungodly way. Don't ignore when you're around the family table and racist and biased speaking is happening around there. Don't ignore it. Am I meddling too much? I got the mic, so it's going to happen anyway. Reconcile it. Why? Because God has given us the responsibility that when we realize all that Christ has done for us, then we take that ministry and we extend that ministry to others, so that when you are in somebody's life, you are a blessing to their life because you are committed to loving them as Christ has loved you. Love is indeed the greatest force. But as we continue, I want to encourage you, secondly, to understand that God wants us, you and I, that we should not allow anything to divide what Christ has unified. We ought not let anything divide. God has called us together. And you know that when God has called this many people together, every now and then there can be some misunderstandings. Amen. Mm-hmm. But anytime you're in conflict, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, first of all, you recognize the tension. And then you realize that Christ is the remedy for anything. Did I say anything? Anything that tries to divide us. That when you put Christ in it, It demonstrates then that I can't see Christ without seeing the love of Christ. And as many times as I have offended Christ, am I the only one up in here? As many times as I have done wrong, and yet in spite of it all, God has been gracious to me. God has extended his mercy upon me. Then I too must extend mercy upon somebody else. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? Has God done things for you that you know you did not deserve? Has God forgiven you of your sins? Because when you're in Christ, you're forgiven. And when you're forgiven, he empowers you, enables you with the ability to forgive others. Ah, but we must see Christ and not allow the culture of the world to cause a division amongst God's people. You know why? Because when you are a new creation in Christ, I'm going to go and say it. When you're a new creation in Christ, you stop being just identified by your ethnicity, your culture, or your background. Because when you're in Christ, Christ modifies who you are. I hope you catch this. So you could be Irish, but when you're in Christ, you're a Christian who is Irish. You could be Jewish, but when you're in Christ, you're a Christian who is Jewish. If you grew up in Texas and have a Texas slang, here it is. When you're in Christ, you are a Christian Texan. I hope you get this. Because in the world, there are all kinds of divisions along political lines and ethnic lines. But when you're in Christ, those divisions go away because Christ has brought us and made us one. He's made us one. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. That's reconciliation. Who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the laws and commands expressed in ordinances, laws that were not godly. He abolished them that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You know what that means? That means everybody who confess Christ as the Lord of their lives are blood related. We are related by, I hope you catch that, by the blood of Christ that covers all of our sins. We are related together as one family. I got to go now. I got to go. But I just want to encourage you. Greg, don't tell me to take my time, man, because, you know, I'm just saying. But catch it. We have responsibility. Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, which means you are Christ's representatives. And can you see Christ on the side of you, the Spirit of Christ in you, that God is looking at you? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you tell them, oh, they said such and such, and that person was with you and said, I didn't say that. Could it be that Christ is right there with us and we are not representing him well as his ambassadors? Because ambassadors of Christ, we have a responsibility to minister by way of reconciliation. God has called us to be one. When Jesus prayed before his crucifixion in John 17, he prayed that his disciples would be one. In 1963, when we saw the movement in Washington, what you saw was believers coming together as one, and it changed the nation. Do you know when we come together as believers on mission for God, it'll change the community, it'll change the state. You know what? God has given us enough power in the Holy Spirit that when we come together as one, it can change the world. Do you believe that? I got witness for you, because if God can change your life through the power of Christ, then there's no life he can't change through the power of Christ. All right, I'm gonna roll out now. But I want you to hear what Dr. King says. He says, we have before us the glorious opportunity to inject a new dimension of love into the veins of our civilization. We, the church, the body of Christ, have an opportunity to not only have the ministry of reconciliation, but you keep reading by verse 20, we have the message of reconciliation. And that is Jesus Christ can bring peace in your life. That's the message. And when you have him, he can end all conflict and give you his peace. Personally, he can give you his peace. Collectively, we can have his peace. When we come to him, he will be our peace. So I want to encourage you, as we conclude the text, with the words of verse 21, for our sake, he being Jesus, for our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Understand this. We all start out with the wrong lenses. Oh, but when we come to Christ, he can clear up what is tainted in our lives. He can remove what is separating us from God. And he can draw us closer to him so that when you are in him, you are a new creation. Old things can be gone. No more guilt. It's gone. Sin is forgiven. When you're in Christ, yes, I may have grown up that way, and yes, I may have had a judgmental spirit, but now that I'm in Christ, all things are passed away, and all things can become new. I want to encourage you to live your life by glorifying his name, that you would glorify the name of God by giving your life to him. You can stand all over the building. As our prayer partners get into position, there are parts of your life that you haven't given to God and you know is not being glorifying to the Lord. I want to encourage you in this day to make the decision that from now on, you're going to live your life to glorify him. Our prayer partners are here. If you want to, I want to invite you to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. If that is your decision on this morning, I invite you to come down these aisles so we can celebrate what God is doing in your life. If you're in need of prayer, we want to pray with you. So as we sing this song, may God be glorified in our lives. There's some places in our lives God's identifying that doesn't bring me glory. Today, I want to encourage you to lay that down. Come to him the way that you are and trust he won't leave you the same way, but he will transform your life and everything will become new. As we sing, I invite you to come.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.